conflict or even war with China. But the Americans will lose face after Nancy Pelosi's visit and China's very strong response, which we saw during the military exercises and drills. Professor Wang Yiwei noted that U.S. foreign policy is driven gradually by the military-industrial complex, causing it to swing from supporting a long-term confrontation with Russia in Ukraine to conflicts in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan, to selling weapons to Chinese Taipei. He said, America has bad and even failed governance domestically, and then asked the world to pay the costs. They're playing with Chinese Taipei card. They even want to copy the Ukraine model in the Taiwan Strait. It's not because they can't find any consensus domestically, but only to sell weapons, only to target China or bash Russia. The website of ABC News has explained more about the same story. China's foreign ministry charged the United States with violating its commitment to the One China principle and interfering in the internal affairs of China recently, after the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee approved a new bill that could significantly increase American defense support for Chinese Taipei. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Mao Ning told reporters in Beijing that China had lodged serious complaints with Washington over the new legislation, which still needs U.S. House and President Joe Biden's approval to become law. The Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Mao Ning said, "The One China principle is the political foundation of China-U.S. relations. If the bill continues to be deliberated, pushed forward, or even signed into law, it will greatly shake the political foundation of China-U.S. relations and cause extremely serious consequences to China-U.S. relations and peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait." Under its One China policy, the United States recognizes the government in Beijing while allowing for informal relations and defense ties with Taipei. It takes a stance of strategic ambiguity towards the defense of Chinese Taipei, leaving it open whether it would respond militarily where the island is attacked. The Chinese Taipei Policy Act of 2022, approved by the committee recently, sets out to support the security of Chinese Taipei and its right of self-determination, providing billions of dollars in defense funding to enhance its counter-intervention capabilities. Democratic Senator Bob Menendez, who co-authored the bipartisan bill with Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, claimed that its focus is on deterrence and that China should not see it as a threat. The committee's approval of the bill comes at a time when tensions between Beijing and Washington were already high over Chinese Taipei following the recent visit by the U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to Taipei.
IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program The Muslim Lady. This is your host Zainab and I have with me Siddiqa. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
A very warm welcome, Siddiqa.
Thank you very much.
Dear listeners, Siddiqa is a student of jurisprudence in the Hawza Ilmi of Qom and she's also a researcher. She researches a lot on the issues related to women. Well, we have this issue which is called as OCD in short, or shall I say obsessive compulsive disorder, a topic which is sometimes misunderstood or people have little information about that. I would want you to shed some light on that.
Okay. So first, the whole point of discussing it on a women's show is the reason I wanted to sort of look into this is because it is largely misunderstood, and especially in the Islamic world. And because it is misunderstood in the Islamic world, the services available are limited. It is misunderstood because it is a relatively new phenomena, and it's not something we've seen before in such large numbers as it is happening today. Now, given that I work with a lot of scholars from around the world as part of my other jobs, I keep on seeing a trend of people coming in with questions that they show symptoms of OCD, which is why it becomes so important to discuss it.
Yeah.
And how within an Islamic framework we can go about resolving these issues. Now, women generally, when it comes to OCD, a lot of women would see eating disorders as part of the OCD, but that's not all. First, I'll define OCD. So OCD is an obsessive compulsive disorder, which is now seen as a mental health issue, and it can severely affect a person's home life, relationship, daily life, and basically a person's day-to-day life becomes extremely hard. Now, OCD, there are different symptoms of it. Some of them are what, first, in the Islamic world. Now, when I mean Islamic world, I mean the scholars. The scholars I have come across, now here I'm stressing on who I have come across, and they just take it as doubts, like excessive washing, repeating your wudu several times, you know, repeating the namaz several times. They just place it under that category because...
The category of doubt.
Yes, because OCD is a disease that you would have to physically go through it to understand what it is. Otherwise, it becomes quite... It is a mental health issue. Now, some of the symptoms of OCD can be the fear of germs and contamination, which is what it's generally understood as by the scholars who I have come across. And then there are the much more worse forms. Some of them would be very intrusive thoughts about religion, intrusive thoughts about violence. Now, when I talk about this, I'll give an example of what I have seen.
You completely differentiated it from the doubts because yes. You came to thoughts now.
Yes. Now, what people generally understood OCD as just doubts or, you know, doing something constantly. Like, I remember one of my friends was like, I have OCD about cleaning my kitchen. I'm like, that's not OCD. You just need a clean kitchen, right?
Okay.
That's different. Now, that was her case, obviously. But then there's some people who, when it comes to germs and contamination, it's how we generally understand OCD is the minute they touch something, they need to go wash their hands, which is how OCD is generally understood as. But because there are other levels which can be very severely difficult to deal with, like thoughts.
Okay.
Now, for example...
Now it's becoming a little more interesting because you're getting deeper into the topic. We're actually understanding what it is. We would like to know more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady. I'm with Sadiqa and we're discussing about OCD. Yes, Sadiqa, you were actually explaining it you're throwing a deep light into the issue.
So when it comes to, like we discussed, there's one level of fears of germs and contamination, and then it goes to the thoughts. Now, the thoughts, from what I've seen with people coming to us with, like I said, I work with a range of scholars who are quite into the communities, and the questions that they get constantly, and I have seen this trend increasing within the Islamic world, is that people would say they have intrusive thoughts about, I'm sorry, I'm using a very graphic example, but it's only to get the message home.
Yeah.
Okay. Then they think that they are the ones who are wrong, that I have made a sin by thinking.
Okay.
Right? Generally, till now, from what I've read, psychologists have not really been able to pinpoint a specific cause for OCD. But because people have these intrusive thoughts, would have thoughts about violence towards themselves or others, or they would imagine themselves harming their family, even though they don't want to do it. It's not from themselves.
Just
a thought. They do not put it into action.
Then they feel regretful towards their thoughts as well.
Yes, and then it becomes a cycle. The thought comes. And the funny thing about OCD is, and it is very, very difficult to handle, is that it is so intrusive that if you do not concede to it, it will not leave you. And this is what people go through when it comes to OCD. Until they do not concede to it in their mind, it will not leave them. And when they do concede to it, they feel this sense of relief in them. Then the guilt comes in.
Okay.
Then it's a chain. Then again, after again. And from what I've kind of understood is that people go through this OCD as a result of immense pressure in their lives, especially which is seen during the childhood years, either through assault, different forms of assault, growing up in households which were not very stable, mm-hmm. or just seeing intensive pressures in the childhood years.
Or any kind of trauma they went through.
Yeah, any trauma would then, to an extent, cause OCD. Now, in women, OCD is generally diagnosed a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they haven't really pinpointed, but it could be a reason that women do not openly speak about these issues so much faster.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it just starts to show itself later in women.
Now, since you yourself said that women do not speak about it themselves or they do not openly talk about it, what could be done about it? I'll ask you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
We're talking about OCD. Sadiqa, we went through OCD. We differentiated it with doubts and we gave some Islamic examples. And now you came to women.
Yes. So there are other forms of OCD, but because I have come across the intrusive thoughts so much, and given that I do not feel that this part of OCD is openly discussed within the Islamic circles, and therefore I do feel that there's an importance for us to get it out and get people the help they need. Now, even these intrusive thoughts can sometimes be in the form of them doubting. They do not doubt the existence of Allah, right? But they doubt, their thoughts make them feel that they doubt the existence of Allah. It's a very hard,
difficult situation.
The situation for them.
Sometimes it may lead you to doubt your faith.
Yeah, they do not have doubts about Allah. They do not have any doubts in their faith.
But this they're feeling.
They're very religious people. But those thoughts, which are not, they do not align themselves to those thoughts. That's another thing. They do not feel those thoughts are coming from them. It is something that is within them that is coming in the form of an obsessive
compulsive
order,
disorder.
That is very difficult for them to separate from themselves. And because it is mental, they have to go about their daily life while having to deal with this. And at some point, they can't do it. And therefore, some people do go for suicide, which shows the extremity of this issue. So I had spoken to my teacher about it, right? My teacher is a teacher in jurisprudence. And I asked about these issues, and her answer was simple. These thoughts, because it is a mental disorder, these thoughts do not entail any sin on the person. So if you go through these thoughts at any point, just know that you're not going to be sinned for it.
It's okay.
Yes. But that does not mean that you should not get the help you need.
All right.
Right?
So there you go. You don't have to feel regretful about it. You have not committed a sin if a thought is just coming in. But at the same time, you need to seek help.
Yes. Because if a person does not seek help, it can be very lifelong. I know of people who've gone through this for 15 odd years. And later they were able to seek help. And the reason they went through it for 15 years was because they were afraid to speak of it, given that it is such a taboo subject. It is a subject that people do not discuss. And if a person is having anti-religious thoughts, which they do not align to themselves, but because they're so scared of speaking out about it, because people might say that these people have left their religion.
How can he think about it? How can she think about it?
Exactly. And they're so scared of speaking about it that they don't speak about it. And then the issue goes on for many years, and the help that they could have easily gotten is the chance is lost, basically. So, yes, just making sure that the help is got. And there are different helps available, which we can discuss.
All right, so any anti-religious thought coming into your mind and you're not speaking about it openly can actually lead into problems. You should speak about it, seek help.
Seek
from
help
a counselor.
From counselors, yes. All that's right. One way of seeking help.
So what do you do with women over here?
Okay, so the methods of getting help for OCD, one of them is going to a psychologist or a counselor. I would recommend an Islamic counselor who's able to help you get through, especially if those issues are religious-based. It would be helpful to go through an Islamic psychologist or a counselor who's able to walk you through methods of containing these thoughts such that they do not overly burden your life. And then there are other methods. Some of them are like meditation. Meditation has seemed to help a few people who I know. I'm talking about an Islamic form of meditation over here. When they're doing yoga, they utter the term Om, which is a Hindu god.
Yeah.
But an Islamic form of meditation, it is a meditation which is you relax the mind, but also by uttering the word Allah. So bringing that focus within yourself towards Allah to bring the mind some calm and peace.
All right. Thank you so much, Siddiqa, for being with us. Thank you so much for explaining actually what OCD is. Now in another session, we'd like to continue and give more examples from women, basically. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes.
so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah,
Muhammad is the messenger, Allah. The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Salam, and if you're ready, here is some fresh food for thought in form of a maxim from Imam Hasan Mujtaba, peace upon him, the elder grandson and second infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Relief is to protect the refugee, to be firm in misfortunes, and to be courageous in crises.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC. They're back as India has revealed or released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The 8 radio-coloured African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India, covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40. World Cleanup Day unites millions of volunteers, governments and organizations to tackle the global waste problem and build a sustainable world. People in several countries joined the efforts again for a waste-free world. Volunteers were seen in mangrove forests in the suburb of Bangkok. They collected more than 1.5 tons of rubbish in just a few hours. Trash picking events were also held in the Philippines and Vietnam. In Hanoi, hundreds, mostly students, armed with metal tongs and sacks, walked along major roads. They said their aim is to raise awareness about protecting the environment. In Manila, people cleaned up the city's beaches that are major tourist attractions. The annual cleanup day has been running for over a decade. From divers collecting marine debris to children picking up trash on beaches have just one goal: make our planet a cleaner place.
Chinese astronauts are celebrating their first ever mid-autumn festival in outer space while sharing their otherworldly experience with people on Earth. The crew had a close-up view of the moon from China's Tiangong space station and their third month in space. On the occasion, the ground crew organized a series of celebrations, including a family reunion for the astronauts. The ground crew also prepared elaborate food packages that had been prepared before the launch of the spacecraft. Typically, the traditional festival is kicked off by the first viewing of the full moon on the 15th day of the 8th month of the lunar calendar. Despite being able to see the moon rise and set 16 times a day, the astronauts say the moon is special on this occasion. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice, and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals. Most of the time, you have to visit an exhibition to see art. But what if art comes to see you instead? Well, a group of artists in Mali have created a floating art venue that will travel up and down the River Niger. It's called the Pirogue du Zem, which is a floating vessel. It's designed to host plays, exhibitions, dance shows, and so much more. The idea is to make art a movable feast that is no longer restricted to fixed venues in cities and accessible to old people. The project was created by a local artist and architect who had a vision to bring art to the masses. The vessel is 20 meters long and 6 meters wide, built with storage and enough space for exhibition. Government officials say the floating venue will showcase Mali's talents and creativity while attracting tourists.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Colombia is known for its tourist attractions and is full of breathtaking natural sights such as beaches, mountains, deserts, and forests. The South American nation is also one of the few places that give tourists the chance to have an encounter with whales. Every year, from July to October, domestic and foreign tourists flock to Colombia's Pacific coast to catch a glimpse of humpback whales. The large animals reach the coast after traveling thousands of kilometers from Antarctica and southern Chile. But for visitors, there are strict rules to help preserve the area and the whales. Tourists are now being welcomed for whale watching after a two-year hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic. This is also the time when humpback whales start their reproductive process. Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism.
Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodile seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations. A wide range of cutting-edge digital technology is grabbing the limelight at the 2022 China International Fair for Trade in Services, which is underway in Beijing. The exhibition is featuring a wide range of products, including artificial intelligence, virtual reality, metaverse, and 5G. Visitors can be seen taking virtual reality driving lessons and enjoying scenarios, including different road and weather conditions, wearing VR kits. It's the leading and largest comprehensive fair for trade and services in China. This year, an increasing number of traditional service companies are speeding up their transformations, resorting to smart technologies. The event has set up 9 thematic exhibitions, including cultural and tourism services, education and sports services, hygiene and health services, engineering, consulting, and environmental services.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty.
Assalamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about mockery in the view of Islam, so I invite you to be with us.
Woke up with the light, a sky so blue above my eyes, with a thankful heart, today is another brand new start. I feel so positive, just wanna do my best and show this world I'm living in all of the love that I can give, give, give.
There are many things that I can do,
many things, yeah,
that can make me feel so close to you.
My heart when I'm
loving, 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 loving you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Today, Wednesday, is the 24th of the month of Safar, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of the month of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of September, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to Chapter Al-Ma'idah from the Holy Quran, verse 58.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa idha nadaytum ila as-salati ittakhadhuha huzwan wa la'iba. Dhalika bi annahum qawmun la ya'qilun.
And when you call to prayer, they take it in ridicule and amusement. That is because they are a people who do not use reason.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
When the prayer call is recited and Muslims are called to prayer, the hypocrites and some of the people of the book mock it. This fact should be noted that the prayer is the feature and the sample of the religion. Thus here, taking prayer in mockery means taking the feature of the religion in mockery. Hence the prayer call should be recited so that the crowd of Muslims gather and prayer be established quite openly.
From the wind to the trees, to the buzzing of the bees, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen, your creation is a dream. From the stars to the moon, your dominion is so vast, yet your beauty isn't seen. Ya Rabbi, please accept my prayer. Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen, Ya Rahmanu Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen.
We're speaking about mockery in the view of Islam. This is today's special. The Quran commands that people should not make fun of, embarrass, or ridicule one another, nor call each other by unbecoming nicknames. This is an important principle if there are to be good relations among people in a community. To mock someone means that one is looking down on them, insulting them, putting them down, and talking about their faults in order to ridicule them. From a community point of view, mocking another person means showing one's believing brother or sister less than their deserved respect and honor, approaching them in an uncomplimentary way. Therefore, no one has the right to belittle, look down on, or make fun of another person because of some outward appearance or action. This may be misleading. If the person we mock is greatly loved by Allah and we show them disrespect, then surely we will have wronged our own souls as well as that of the person.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. Making fun of people from Islamic perspective, we find that not only individually but also socially, making fun of other people is by no means justified. There are some other consequences. There are some other, further consequences in this regard. According to Islamic instructions and according to Quranic implications, those people, who make fun of other people because of the staunch beliefs or because of the sincere religious deeds, it's as if the person who makes fun of other people has already left the Islamic religion. And leaving the Islamic religion and averting from the Islamic religion is regarded as a very, very grave sin in within the radius of Islamic instructions and Islamic conditions. We find that there are some reasons for underestimating other people or making fun of other people. One of them is ignorance. In this regard, we find that ignorance is one of the reasons for making fun of other people. In the case of the Prophet Moses, when the Prophet Moses said to his own people, his own community, to do some things, some jobs, and to carry out some rites, and they answered that they replied to Moses that, are you making fun of us? The Prophet Moses said, I resort to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be one of the ignorant people. So we find that one of the reasons for making fun of other people is, being ignorant. So ignorance should be removed, and people, because of this, should try not to remain ignorant or not to remain or not to be among those people who make fun of real believers.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Today's a special suggests you dua for someone who has hurt you. When somebody hurts our feelings, wrongs, or oppresses us in any way, it is natural to feel disgusted or hatred towards him. But sabr, that means patience, is the key to defining peace among difficulties and toxicities of life. Our tongues complain to Allah, the Almighty, for all the atrocities and hurt that we have suffered. We should not make dua against them. Instead, make dua for their guidance and forgive them by following the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. Prophet Muhammad had been hurt by a lot of people, but he always prayed for them. Even infallible imams many times guided their strongest enemies by this moral behavior.
Praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home, it's here with me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know, you've opened my heart. I was always thinking that love was wrong,
but everything was changed when you came along. Oh.
Come here to know about the ways to stop people from mocking. Walk away from those mocking you. If you find yourself being made fun of and your efforts to engage with the bully have failed, walk confidently and slowly away. This will remove you from the situation and convey to those mocking you that you do not appreciate what they are saying. Stand up against and walk slowly. Running away tells those mocking you that they have gotten to you. Other way, laugh at the ridicule. The people making fun of you expect you to react negatively by either getting angry or being sad, so laughing will throw them off. Give a big, heartily laugh like the mocking is the funniest thing you have ever heard. This will deflect the attack and show how little power they have over you. Say something like, "That's a new one," or "That's the funniest thing I've heard." Say something like, "That's enough," or "Quite being rude."
The top leader is Al-Walid ibn Al-Mughira. Al-Walid ibn Al-Mughira Al-Makhzumi. Rich person in Mecca and arrogant. And in fact, when God sent this book upon the Prophet, he said, لَوْلَا أُرْسِلَ هَذَا أُنْزِلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. God is saying, sending his book upon this man who's orphan, who doesn't have money, and I'm rich. How did God bypass me? Me and Fulan, his friend, another friend, they were two rich people in Mecca. God has to send this message upon me. I'm the rich. I'm influential. I can move the society, the economy, the market. God left me, bypassed me, and he sent it upon Muhammad, who doesn't have food to eat. Look at the arrogance. Arrogance. Because he's rich, he thinks he's the best. Not because he has values or principles. Not because of his character. Because of his wealth. لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. He was in Mecca and his friend was in Ta'if. Mecca and Ta'if, there is about 100 kilometers between them. Two villages, Mecca and Ta'if. He said, why? Why didn't Lord send this book upon me and my friend from Thaqif? We could have done a better job because we are rich. So this man, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, was very arrogant. Though he came to the Prophet and he listened to the Quran, and he was also moved by the Quran, and he went back home that night, he could not sleep because he heard something very different. And then he started to be one of the main mockers of the Prophet.
That was all for today's special. We were speaking about the mockery in the view of Islam. So, inshallah, we continue this interesting topic. Till then, God bless all of you, and we'll leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Inside, I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.